Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. We shall rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it. For God has given us another day. He has given us a do-over. If we did something wrong yesterday, then I just say, Lord, please forgive me. If I hurt anybody, please forgive me. If I said anything that I shouldn't have said, please forgive me. We got to ask forgiveness, and we got to ask God to guide us, to lead us, to help us to be better than we were yesterday. But God is in charge of our life. He is in charge of our hope. He is in charge of our absolute and everything. Lord God, I thank you this morning for waking me up. I thank you this morning for giving me strength in my body and a righteous mind. Lord God, you are in charge. You are in charge. Hallelujah. 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 Lord God, give me strength, give me energy, give me all the things I need to do. And above all, Lord God, increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name, I pray, lead, guide, and show the way, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. Hallelujah, giving honor and praise to the Most High God this morning, who is the source of my. Some days we think we can do it on our own, and then others we realize we are a whole hour ahead of time. You know, I'm all discombobulated this morning, y'all. I've been up since early this morning, and I was ready to go here an hour ago because I had lost track of time. But you know what? God is good, and we're getting ready to get started. And the word today is a great word. Again, our title is coming out of Psalms chapter 35. And I'm telling you, whoo, Lordy, it is a great word. And the title is just simply this: my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. You know, say it with me: my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in, not mine, in his salvation. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be saved. If I'm not, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be set free. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Should be our lament every day. I want to be saved. I want to be set free. I want to be like you, Jesus, to be loving and kind. You know, again, we all need to practice being kind to each other, being loving to each other, being joyful. Loving God is what we should do every day, and thanking God is what we should do every day. Father God, again, and let's get started in our word this morning. This March 18th, yay! We are just tooling right along through our work. We are just moving forward, family. We are in the book of Numbers. We are still in the book of Mark. And, of course, every day we have a psalm and a proverb. For those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version. So when you hear me say life lessons, life examples, life questions, I am speaking from the study of the Bible that I have, and it's Dr. Stanley, whose words I am speaking, and I'll say Dr. Stanley said, because I'm not taking credit for anything that somebody else is seeing. But I am excited about one thing. I just read an article, and they have just found more of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Cave that they found it in, they call it the Cave of Horrors, because a whole lot of people died in it, from those that were zealots that were fighting against the Romans, and they died in these caves. But there's a possible child in there that is several thousand years old, but because of the desert and the sand and the heat, it has been preserved. And they can see the head wrap, and it's a child about 6 years old, they said. And then I believe that the words that they found, and I forgot to take a screenshot, which I should have done, but it was just the fact that the word of God is starting to come out. You know, we're talking 2,000 years old. They found a basket that was over 10,000 years old in this cave. So understanding that God is starting to show out. He's starting to show everybody who he is, what he is, and that we better understand and recognize that the Lord is in charge of everything. But I just thought it was so awesome that they have discovered more of the scrolls, that they have discovered more words in the desert, and there's more, because what they're saying is they're trying to get out there and get in before those that want to steal the word, those that want to use it for commerce, you know, that these are words of God, and that they need to be put in places, so they're fragments that they're finding. It's just amazing. It's just amazing that God is just showing up. And I'm getting emotional, because to understand that they have been out there looking for this stuff for a long time, and that the word of God is showing up even now after thousands and thousands of years, God to allow more and more of those scrolls to come, more of words to come out. You know, it's just great. You know, and they have been looking and searching the desert for a long time. And this is, you know, folks looking and trying to find things, because we all want to know more word, and we want to know the source. And the source is coming from those caves where they were hidden, and they were hidden for a reason and a purpose, because I believe that God sends certain word out for such a time as, and right now, a time as this, is that we need more Jesus. We need more Jesus. We need more Jesus. So thanking all of you again for joining me. And I will find those scrolls and the word that I believe it was from Zechariah. And it was another minor prophet, but it was from the 12 books of the minor prophets that this particular scrolls were from. And I do want to find the word, because I read it yesterday, and I was so, it just touched my heart. My heart. Because it was so good. It was so good. So let's get started. Numbers chapter 33. And it says, these are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramesses in the first month of the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. Children of Israel, went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians, for the Egyptians were bearing all of their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them, also on their gods. The Lord had executed judgment. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramesses and camped in Succoth. They departed from Succoth and camped in Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They moved from Etham and turned back to Pi Hathoroth, which is east of Baal Zephon, and they camped near Migdal. They departed. From before Heorot and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham and camped at Moriah. They moved from Moriah and came to Elam. At Elam were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there. They moved from Elam and camped by the Red Sea. They moved from the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. They journeyed from the wilderness of Sin and camped at Dophekah. And we departed from Dophekah and camped in Alush. They moved from Alush and camped in Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They departed from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They moved from the wilderness of Sinai and camped in Kibroth Hathaavah. They camped from Kibroth Hathaavah and camped in Hazeroth. They departed from Hazeroth and camped at Rethmah. They departed from Rethmah and camped at Ramon Perez. They departed from Ramon Perez and camped at Lebna. They moved from Lebna and camped at Rasha. They journeyed from Rasha and camped at Kehilathan and went from Kehilathan and camped in Mount. They moved from Mount Shabar and camped at Herodai. They moved from Herodai and camped at Mechathlot. They moved from Mechathlot and camped at Tehath. They departed from Tehath and camped at Tira. They moved from Tira and camped at Mithka. They went from Mithka and camped at Hashmanah. And they departed from Hashmanah and camped at Moserot. They departed from Moserot and camped at Ben-Tekon. And they moved from Ben-Tekon and camped at Hor Haggadon. They departed from Hor Haggadon and camped at Japhatha. And moved from Japhatha and camped at Abernon, and departed from Abernon and camped in Ezanon at Geber. They moved from Ezan, Geber, and camped in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. And they moved from Kadesh and camped in Mount Hor on the boundary of the land of Edom. Then Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor in the command of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt. On the first day of the fifth month, Aaron was 123 years old when he died. Arad and the Canaanites, who dwelt in the south in the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. So they departed from Mount Hor and camped at Zelmanah. They departed from Zelmanah and camped at Punon, and departed from Punon and camped at Oboth. They departed from Oboth and camped in Ajai Abiram, and at the border of Moab, they departed from Ajam and camped at Dabon Gad. They moved from Dabon Gad and camped at Almon Debalathim, and they moved from Almon Debalathim and camped in the mountains of Abiram before Nebo. They departed from the mountains of Abiram and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. They camped by the Jordan from Beth Jezemoth as far as Abel Arcacia Grove in the plains of Moab. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance. To the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. Wow. And a life lesson from Dr. Stanley from Numbers 33:55. If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, they shall harass you. The Lord warned Israel what would happen if they failed to drive out all the inhabitants of the land as he had commanded. And in this too, his word proved true. And we'll be getting to that when we get to the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Again, the word of God is always true. He does not lie because he's not a man. And the inspiration that he gives for these words are God inspired. And I tell you this, don't play with God. And definitely don't play with the word of God. You know, there are folks that like to manipulate people with the word of God. God does not play. And he will not allow us to be manipulated. Everything that you think you're getting away with in the dark, God will bring into the light every time. God will bring into the light every time the things that you think that you have done. When you do it, we got to just work the work that God has given us to do. God is in charge. God is in charge. And we got to love him and love his people, love his children, love each other. Love each other as God loves us. What a word this morning. But the one thing God says, whatever he tells you to do, you need to do. Because what he tells you, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, they shall harass you. And I love this word that he said, they shall be an irritant. And, you know, we know that there's just some things that just get on our nerves and we don't know what it is because we have allowed something to fester and it has become an irritant. Been moving. This word is a good word this morning. And then it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan. To its boundaries, your southern border shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along the border of Edom. Then your southern border shall extend eastward to the end of the Salt Sea. Your border shall turn from the southern side of Accent of Akrabim, continue to Zin, and be on the south of the Kadesh Barnea. Then it shall go on to Hazar Adar and continue to Asmon. The border shall turn from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and it shall end at the sea. As for the western border, you shall have the great sea for a border. This shall be your western border, and this shall be your southern border. From the you shall mark out your border line to Mount Hor. From Mount Hor, you shall mark out your border to the entrance of Hamath. Then the direction of the border shall be toward Zedad. The border shall proceed to Zephron, and it shall end at Hazar Enon. This shall be your northern border. You shall mark out your eastern border from Hazar Enon to Shephram, and the border shall go down from Shephram to Reblah, and on the east side of Ain, and the border shall go down and reach to the eastern side of the Sea of Shinnereth. The border shall go down along the Jordan, and it shall end at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land and its surrounding boundaries. Then Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded to give to the nine tribes and to the half tribes. But the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and the half tribe of Manasseh has received its inheritance. Two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side of the Jordan across from Jericho, eastward toward the sunrise. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, these are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance, Elijah the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to divide the land for the inheritance. These are the names of the men from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel, the son of Ammihud, from the tribe of Benjamin, Eliab, the son of Chislon, a leader from the tribe of the children of Dan, sons of Joseph, a leader from the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Hananiah, the son of Ephod, and the elders from the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shephatan, a leader from the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Eliphaz, the son of Parnak, a leader from the tribe of the children of Issachar, Peltiel, the son of Ezan, a leader from the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahud, the son of Shelemi, and the leaders from the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedaliah, the son of Ammihud. These are the ones the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance among children of Israel in the land of Canaan. Wow. And just a life lesson from Dr. Stanley from Numbers chapter 34, verse 2. This is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries. God was always giving the Israelites boundaries for good reason by establishing definable boundaries. The Israelites knew what land they were responsible to manage and what was dangerous enemy territory in the same way. God commands show us what we're accountable to him for, and they also safeguard us from the enemy territory of sin. God's boundaries always protect us. And I say that again, God's boundaries always protect us. All we got to do is listen to the Lord. His word has given us boundaries. It's told us what we should and should not do, what is sin, what is not sin. It's already told us. You know, I know lots who wants to go back to Leviticus. All you got to go is in the New Testament. You know, we're going to run over there if I can get an opportunity. I probably need to get another Bible. When we go to Galatians, it tells us the fruits of the Spirit, but it also tells us the sins. You know, it gives us the good, the bad, and the real ugly. The Word of God is always on point and on time. And this is our word for this morning that God gave me as a title. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. And it says, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him. Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself from fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavenly as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoice and gather together. Attackers gathered against me, and I did not know it. They tore at me and did not cease. With ungodly markers of feast, they gnashed at me with their teeth. Wow. What a word. And what I have just read is Psalm chapter 35, verses 9 through 16. And our proverb word for this morning is just Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2, just one verse. And it's such a good verse that it just gives us an overall. And it says, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions, he will condemn. Don't get it twisted, family. Folks that think they getting by, that they getting over on somebody, that they got it going on, you know, stealing, killing, and destroying lives, you know, thinking, oh, well, I'm covered, I'm good. No. If you are doing something wicked, wicked intentions, he will condemn. And I will tell you this, nobody is going to get away with doing dirt. It will always come out in the light, all the stuff that has been done against the people of God. All the subterfuge, all the stuff people think they're getting away with, it will not be gotten away with. God has a way of showing up, showing out. And all we got to do is just sit back and wait. My mother-in-law actually used to say, watch as well as pray. And we know that's biblical. We've read it. We've seen it. We got to watch and pray because we know that the enemy is out there. He's like a just snarling and waiting to get you. That's why God said, I give you boundaries. You stay within these boundaries and you will not fall into the darkness. And I like to say, you stay within your square. God has given each of us an assignment. He's given each of us our own square. When you stay in the light of your square, following from square to square, following God, it's always going to be lit. But if you get out of your square and think you can walk into the wilderness, it's not going to work. Because when we say in that 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's because you are, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because, and I know I did not say that right. But we know that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because God is with us. God is always with us, covering us from the crowns of our soles of our feet. He is there with us. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. You may think, Lord, I can't handle this. I need a job for the unemployed. I need a better job for the underemployed. I need more time with you for those that are seeking more time with him. All we got to do is believe and trust in the Lord. We got to trust God. We got to know that his word is true and that when he says, I am with you always, he is with us always. Saying that what we do, God will always get the glory. He will always get the glory. You know, don't think you can pull something over on God because it's not going to work. And we're going to go really quick. I know we've read it already, but we're going to read it again because it just got in my spirit. And one thing I know that when God puts something in your spirit, you got to do it. And I'm going to come from the 23rd Psalm. And I'm actually coming out of my Hebrew Bible. It's written in Hebrew, translated to English. And this is the 23rd Psalm, Hebrew Bible. And it says, a Psalm of David. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to the restful waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. I was right. I forgot my 23rd Psalm for a minute. You prepare a table for me before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah for as long as my days. Wow. What a word. What a word. And, you know, when you go and you look at it and you see it in Hebrew, because understand that in Hebrew you read from right to left and not left to right. And it's right to left, left to right, right to left, left to right, right to left to right. And it's such, but you start always right to left. And, you know, I remember in my classes that, you know, trying to learn my alphabet, it was hard. And then my teacher had a tragedy and I quit taking my Hebrew classes. But I tell you, I would love to get back into them because the word of God is so rich. Hallelujah. Thanking God. Thanking Jehovah for his word. And then we're going to go into Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 24. And, you know, this is the word that starts to make everything real. And I can hardly ever read it without getting filled up to know that my Savior gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. And this is what it says, because we know on yesterday, you know, Peter denied him three times and the rooster crowed twice. You know, we know that his disciples left him just scattered when the Roman soldiers came. We know that he was left alone to be spat upon, to be beaten, to be hit in his face. We know that he was beaten, his clothes torn off. He was just treated horribly. Who he ministered to, I want you to remember that, that the people that are doing these things are people he ministered to, people that he maybe have saved their life or restored their sight. I helped them to walk. But this is what's going to happen. Let's read. Verse 1, chapter 15 of the book of Mark. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he was accompanied to release him. Now at the feast he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had handed him over because of envy. Wow. Say that again. The chief priest had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate wanted to gratify the crowd, release Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross, brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. 18 and 19, they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. How hard it would have been to take the brutality and cruel mocking, knowing that with a word Jesus could have summoned more than 12 legions of furious angels. Matthew 26 and 53. Yet he bore it for our sake. He bore being spat upon. He bore a crown of thorns. He bore being beaten. He bore a whip. He bore the cross for our sake. A mighty God we serve. He paid the price for me. He paid the price for you. A life lesson from this word this morning. It says, of all the things, this is an ordinary tree, an extraordinary Savior. And this is from Mark chapter 15, verse 25. We're going to go over to verse 25. Which is actually in tomorrow's word, but we're going to read it today. Verse 25, and it says, now it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription, accusation, was written above, the King of the Jews. But it says this, of all the things that God could have used to bring about his awesome plan for humanity, he chose to use a tree. There were so many ways Jesus could have been executed. The Romans certainly never ran out of terrible ways to hasten a person's death. Jesus could have been pierced with a bow and arrow or stoned to death. He could have been suffocated, decapitated, or burned, as were many others in the early church, even have been killed quickly with a sword or javelin. Why do you suppose that God's plan included having Jesus nailed to a tree? And what kind of tree could it have been when its seed first dropped to the ground? Did God notice it? Did he watch it sprout and grow, knowing it was to be the tree? Was his eyes on it all those years while it was climbing skyward and gaining strength? When it was cut down and assembled, did he take a special care to guide the hands of the carpenter? And when God first saw it in its final form as the cross, did he weep because of what his son would endure? Why do you suppose God planned for Christ to be nailed to a tree? Trees are so common. Depending on where you live, you can probably take a short trip and see hundreds of trees. Trees are familiar to every country and culture. With more than 100,000 types of trees throughout the world, there's nothing that's unique about them, nothing that's special. Yet that's also the way that Christ was described in Isaiah 53:2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground, comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In fact, the reason people were crucified was to show their lowly state, their disgraced position in society. Crucifixion was the most humiliating and excruciating form of execution. Disfigured and disrobed, Jesus was killed publicly so that there be no question that he been put to death. Deuteronomy 21:22-23 tells us, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, for he who is hanged is a curse of God. Put him on that tree to make him a curse of God, not knowing he was God. Not knowing he was a part of God. He was the Son of God. He was the Savior that they had been waiting for. He was the Messiah. But he had to fulfill his purpose. He had to fulfill his assignment. Deuteronomy 21:22-23 tells us, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall bury, truly, surely bury him that day, for he who is hanged is a curse of God. I had to read that again. He who hanged on a tree is a curse of God. Our beloved Savior, a curse of God. Yet that is what Jesus came to do. He came to remove the curse of our sin from us. He came to lay down his life on a common, ordinary tree to pay our sin debt. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. 2:24 testifies that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For those who are lost, it may be just another run-of-the-mill tree, but for believers, it is the tree for us. It is the tree of life, eternal life, because it was the means by which our wonderful Lord Jesus provided for our salvation. God did the extraordinary through the ordinary. Like Dr. Stanley can write, I am just so filled up. It says, perhaps you are feeling somewhat avenged today. Maybe you wonder if anyone even notices what makes you special. Take heart that God delights in using the common, mundane things of the world to show his immense power and goodness. 4:7. Yet in order for God to work through you mightily, you must give yourself to him fully. Always remember that the power, wisdom, creativity, and beauty you exhibit are from God. They do not originate from within you. That's why you must allow him to shine through you, bearing his image even as the tree bore Christ. Friend, if God can use a tree to provide us with eternal life, what could he do through your mind? Yes, there's really only one way to find out. You must fully surrender yourself to him. Are you willing? And all I can say is, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the Savior who died on the tree for your sins, who bore the scourges and the whips being spit upon, a crown of thorns shot on his head, stripped of his dignity, nailed to a tree for you, for me, for us. Today is a good day to get saved. Thanking God this morning for this mighty, mighty word. This is all I have today. And yes, I am to know that my Savior died for me. And that when we go through Easter, not about a bunny. It's not about the new clothes. It's not about the new patent leather slippers and the little bonnet that we used to get as a child. It's not about the little speeches that we spoke. It's about a Savior that took and allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. It's about a Savior who chose to die for me, who chose to die for you, who came down from heaven where he was King, a Lord, the face of God. But he came for us. And we should never forget his sacrifice. Because I tell you this, when you least expect God to move, it's when he moves in a mighty way. So I just say today, keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. Don't let anybody take you down that road of destruction. Thank God and watch him work in your life. Good morning, as Sister Carolyn would say. And this is her word for today. Don't let anyone set you off today. Come on now. Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. Have a thankful Thursday, family. I couldn't have said it better myself. Have a thankful Thursday that he paid it all on the cross for you. He bled and died for you. He surrendered it all, his life, for you. So I say, as Sister Carolyn said this morning, don't let anyone set you off today. Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. Because why? His Son has already paid for your sins. Today is a good day to repent. Today is a good day to give over your life to the Lord. If there's anybody that has a word this morning, please push the number 1 on your phone. Going once, going twice, and we are about to wrap it up this morning. Because your host is filled up and reflecting on the sacrifice and the goodness of our Savior, and knowing that he gave it all for me. He gave it all for you. The word says this morning, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Thank you, family, for listening in this morning. Contemplate on the name of Jesus keep your mind stayed on him. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. Be at peace knowing that you are a child of God and that someone has already paid the price for your sin. Don't let anybody keep throwing up your past to you, what you used to do, how you used to be, because Jesus has already paid the price for those sins. When you repent and gave him your life, all those things that you used to do, how you used to be, are in the sea of forgetfulness. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our miraculous and wonderful Savior, Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are special, that you are a child of God, and that he loves you more than anything. Be blessed. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. Thank you all for listening in. Join me tomorrow morning, God willing, 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, as we continue in the Word of God. And remember, on Friday, we will probably be in the New Testament, because I just feel that's where God is leading us to stay, in the New Testament at the crucifixion. And so we will be coming out of the New Testament Friday, and we'll be back in the Old Testament on Sunday. Have a blessed day, family. I love you. I thank God for you. And I know you are blessed. It is Moving Forward, a wrap. Because we are always willing, ready, available, presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. Again, as Sister Carolyn told y'all, because the word is true, don't let anyone set you off today, family. Be at peace, remember, God is on your side. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. For real this time. Have a blessed day.